Democrat Booth Gardner took office in January of 1985. He was a Harvard-educated businessman with a playful manner. Longtime newspaper columnist Joel Connolly offers these snapshot memories.
I remember his deep emotion and sense of obligation on the night that he won the governorship. I remember Booth in the company of adults choosing the company of children. I remember a voice that sounded like Elmer Fudd on helium.
I think this is the most dynamite program I've seen in education in a long time.
That was Governor Gardner beaming himself into Washington classrooms via satellite. A former state senator, Gardner ascended to the governorship straight from county executive. In fact, he was so unknown statewide that his campaign famously adopted the slogan, Booth who? Still, he managed to beat one-term Republican Governor John Spellman in a year when Ronald Reagan won the state. Dean Foster was Gardner's first chief of staff.
Booth's message was that he governed by walking around, and that caught on. His Booth who buttons caught on. His youthful image caught on, and Democrats got excited.
In some respects, a life in politics was an unlikely path for William Booth Gardner, a self-described introvert. Born into a society family, he suffered under its dysfunction. In Booth Who, a recent biography by John Hughes, Gardner's father is portrayed as an alcoholic with a mean streak. His parents divorced when he was young. His mother quickly remarried a wealthy executive at Weyerhaeuser. When Gardner was 14, tragedy struck. His mother and sister were killed in a commercial airline crash. Suddenly, Gardner found himself a trust fund orphan. Later, his father died in a drunken plunge from a hotel balcony in Hawaii. Laird Harris was a close advisor to Gardner. He reluctantly offers a bit of armchair psychology about the former governor.
I do know that people who grow up in this kind of environment often have troubles later in their life. And I think if it manifested itself in any way in Booth, it was that he was always trying to please people.
On the one hand, it was his greatest asset. Gardner is often referred to as Washington's most popular governor, a leader who could genuinely relate to the people with the poll numbers to prove it. He won re-election in 1988 with a whopping 62% of the vote. Even Republicans liked him. Dan McDonald is a former chair of the Senate Budget Committee.
Booth Gardner was truly the most personable governor I have known.
But Gardner's likability was also his Achilles heel. In his first term especially, the new governor struggled to assert himself with the legislature. Prince Faintheart was how one newspaper columnist described him. McDonald, the former budget chair, offers a similar assessment.
For instance, Booth Gardner was referred to as the education governor, and he always had good intentions, but the implementation of actual policy a lot of times left his leadership at the door of the legislature.
Gardner himself admitted he shied away from the, quote, head-knocking that goes on in the legislature. Here he is reflecting in a 2000 interview on TVW.
I didn't like the legislative side. And if I had life to live over again and I were governor, I'd spend a lot more energy on the legislative side because I think I could do it now. I just wasn't comfortable there.
Still, Gardner chalked up a number of wins during his two terms. Running Start, a popular program that allows high school students to earn college credits, health care and preschool for low-income children, AIDS legislation, the Growth Management Act, and he appointed the first ethnic minority to the state Supreme Court. But it was his veto pen that helped him overcome the Prince Faintheart tag. Denny Heck, another former chief of staff to Gardner, says the year was 1989.
The governor vetoed, in part or in whole, more bills than any governor in the history of the state.
Heck says Gardner used the power of the veto to reassert himself as a co-equal branch with the legislature.
And it worked. We did become more productive. He became more productive.
Throughout his two terms, Gardner put much of his energy into K-12 education. That's also where he took the most heat. He'd been elected with the backing of the state teachers union, but by the spring of 1991, teachers all over the state were on strike over pay. Former Chief of Staff Heck remembers Gardner going before a mass of angry teachers.
They completely occupied the rotunda area, thousands of them. He went out and they booed him loudly and long.
Steve Kink is a former top official with the teachers union. He's blunt in his assessment of Gardner.
I like Booth Gardner. I think he did some good things as governor of the state, but with regard to education, his performance there was pathetic at best.
Others, though, credit Gardner with ushering in the era of standards-based education in Washington.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Gardner delivered his last State of the State address in January of 1993. He had decided not to run for a third term, despite the likelihood he could win. He was feeling fatigued. Instead of battling for office, he would soon find himself battling Parkinson's disease. He was diagnosed while serving overseas in the first Clinton administration. Two deep brain surgeries would follow. Then, in 2008, a clearly debilitated Gardner reemerged for what he would call his last campaign.
I'm here to announce that we have turned into the Secretary of State 320,000 signatures.
It was an initiative campaign to adopt an Oregon-style Death with Dignity Act. Ironically, it wouldn't apply to someone like Gardner with a non-terminal disease such as Parkinson's, but he led and helped fund the effort nonetheless. Dwayne French is a quadriplegic who helped lead the opposition campaign. Calling it assisted suicide, he argued that disabled would be made vulnerable. Nonetheless, he considered Gardner a friend.
I felt he was misguided, but I didn't think that he intended to harm anyone.
In the end, nearly 60% of Washington voters approved Initiative 1000, allowing physicians to write a lethal prescription to terminally ill patients. After that last campaign, Gardner's health continued to deteriorate. The former governor struggled just to maintain a conversation. His once bright eyes rarely blinked. Gardner spent his final years splitting his time between his homes in Tacoma and on Vashon Island. He leaves behind two children and eight grandchildren. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.